Praise the Lord. What a tremendous thing it is to be on the receiving end of the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf in this country and around the world. We are eternally grateful for what men and women have done on our behalf. And as Brother Bill said, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifices that you have made and for those that have paid that price and given their life. We honor them today and this week, and really it's kind of sad that we only do it one weekend out of the year, but know that we are forever grateful. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, in praying about this service this morning and just really seeking God on what direction to go, I just kept coming back to the subject of faith. And so I want to talk about some aspects of faith this morning. And I want you to turn in your Bible, if you can find it, to Habakkuk chapter 2. Amen. Now, I'm, you know, when you have a last name like mine, Gregorich, you try to say people's names correctly after, you know, you've spent your life hearing your name. I think probably, I don't know if you call it the best or the worst, but my daughter had a substitute teacher. Her name's Emily Renee. And this substitute teacher in calling roll one time in middle school said, Emily Rennie Green Grunch. That's probably the farthest away that I've ever heard my name, last name mentioned. So Habakkuk here, or Habakkuk, I don't know what his name is, but this prophet of God said something I want us to look at here. If you're still struggling, page 809. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to read verse 4 here. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Talking about being lifted up with pride, that's not right. But the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. One of the aspects of faith that I want to talk about this morning is that faith is a lifestyle. Faith is how we are to live. It is not an event. I think a lot of times in Christians, you know, people are having events rather than having a lifestyle of faith. Because when we live with a lifestyle of faith, of trusting God and living by our convictions and our persuasions that come from the Bible, then when the storms of life come, you know, the storms of life come to everyone. It's not just, you know, well, what was that? No, you know, when you became a Christian, you didn't get some special dispensation to never have any problems in life. That would have been nice. No, that's eternity with God. But here on this life, you know, Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. Well, you know, and I found this out, you don't really have to believe for it. It just comes. Right? That's like, you know, that Jesus talked about, if you give, you know, and for my sake in the Gospels, you'll receive in this life with persecutions all these blessings. Well, you know, I know a lot of folks, they're believing for the blessings, but they're not believing for the persecutions. But they come. But when we live by faith, living a lifestyle of faith, we don't have to have an event now. Amen. Now, I'm going to say something here and understand what I'm saying when I say this. I'm not against necessarily, but yes, I guess I am against it. So forget that I just said. I am against this. All of a sudden, something happens in your life and you've got to get 25,000 Christians to pray. You're trying to have an event of faith. Now, God does, yes, God, will God help us? Absolutely. But we need to grow up, right? In the things of God, and live by our faith. Live but that way. So when things come, you see, I don't so I don't have to confess it 1,051 times like brother or sister so-and-so did when they received their healing. I've already been talking about, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I live that way. I live in the reality of what God has done, what God has done through Christ and finished through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and seating at the right hand of God. He says here, the just shall live by his faith. The just, those declared right with God. Well, this isn't just an Old Testament. Look at Romans chapter 1. Let's look at this here. Look at a few scriptures. And we live by faith. Not just, again, having events of faith, but living by faith. Well, what is faith? Well, if you look it up in Strong's or a Thayer's dictionary, it talks about what you're convinced of, your convictions, what you're confident of, what you're persuaded of. You know, if you study it out, and of course, you know, Hebrews 11:1 does that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. In other words, you've taken evidence. You've gone to the Word of God. It becomes your evidence. And even though you can't see it, you say it's true because God said it. Right? Now here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein what? Therein that gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. See, how did you become righteous? By faith. By accepting the righteousness of God. He says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, he's talking about those declared righteous. So Paul mentions it here. He mentions it again in Galatians. Evidently, this was a theme of his. Look in Galatians chapter 3, please. Hallelujah. Living by faith. I'll never forget the very first camp meeting I ever attended in June of 1981, downtown at the convention center there where we just had graduation last week. And I think it was Dr. Price, Fred Price, who took this, talked about the just shall live by faith. And that stuck with me, you know, over the years, that this is not just something that we do once in a while. This is something that we have in our life all the time. And it's more than just, you know, some people, and we're going to look at another aspect that faith is released by speaking and by actions, but it's more than just making good confessions. It's an attitude of life. That no matter what happens, that it really is the attitude that if God be for me, who can be against me? If God's on my side, what can happen that's ever going to harm me? And you know, you think about it, when we are living by faith, you can't harm. I mean, if you killed me, you do me a favor. You just got rid of this body a little bit earlier. Because I'm still alive. Right? I mean, not very many of us in here have seen heaven, but I'm going. Amen. You might have been there, but I haven't been there, but I'm going. I'm telling you, I'm going. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says it's there. Yes. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Look there in Galatians chapter 3. It's amazing how much in Galatians 3, 4, and 5, especially 3 and 5, he talks about the subject of faith. But here in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now, you know, he had to talk to them about, did you begin in the spirit, now you're made perfect in the flesh? No, it's a faith life, living by faith. You see. That doesn't mean faith doesn't have works. Faith does work. Glory to God. We might look at that here in a minute. Hebrews chapter 10 now. What are you doing? I'm supplying evidence that faith is a lifestyle. To me, that's the first thing, let's put it that way, that you need to understand about the subject of faith. that we're not talking about here, you know, 57 steps to the highest faith. Amen. But we're talking about a lifestyle of faith. So that when the storms of life do come your way, you've got a life that already is founded on the Word of God, and you're going to stand no matter what comes your way. Amen? Amen? I know in local church work sometimes, and been involved with the local church. This is, 16 and a half years, and then the last nine, so 20, over 25 years now of being on staff at a local church. You in dealing with people, and they call, and they're asking for prayer, and you realize, right away that this is an emergency for them. It's interesting that when you live by faith, you just seem to have less and less emergencies. Not that they don't come, but it doesn't become an emergency because you're already living in the Word, by the Word. Glory to God. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The just, the declared righteous, that's every believer. If you're a believer in here this morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's talking about you. You are the just. God has declared you righteous. He has justified you. He is just, and he is the justifier of him who puts faith in him and what Jesus has done. And so you are to live, and I am to live by faith and to not draw back, glory to God. To not draw back. I think for some reason, I don't know what, probably persecution, but I think there's a lot of folks, and that, especially preachers maybe, that have drawn back from the subject of faith. Because I was making all the right confessions and, Aunt Lulu died. Can I tell you something? That's between Aunt Lulu and God. The Bible says, if you have faith, have it unto yourself. You judge yourself whether you be in the faith. Amen. Well, yeah, pray like your life depends on it for Aunt Lulu, but you got to understand. Can I tell you this? You're not Aunt Lulu's Savior or her healer or her Holy Spirit. Right? Who's to live by faith? The just shall live by his faith. You see, you can't live off my faith. I think a lot of us tried to live off Brother Hagin's faith. Couldn't do it. You have to have your own faith. Thank God it's available to us. Now, a similar scripture, we won't turn over there, but 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. To walk means to live and have your being. Now there he said something very interesting at the end of verse 38. He said, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. My second aspect of faith to understand is faith is pleasing to God. Faith is pleasing to God. Now, I understand that there's some, and I'm not teaching against anything. I just want to tell you what the Word says about pleasing God. It is important to be pleasing to God. Well, I thought because of Jesus, we were all pleasing to God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your lifestyle and my lifestyle. Jesus made an interesting statement. Now, how many of you believe Jesus was in right standing with God? Right? I mean, God spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But Jesus made an interesting statement as recorded by John in John chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. Jesus was concerned about pleasing God. Well, if Jesus was concerned about it, if it was important enough for him to mention it, then I need to be mention it, and I need to be aware of it. I have a desire to be pleasing to God. Now, the Bible tells us, look at Hebrews chapter 11 here. Glory to God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As I was sitting there this morning, I was looking up a few verses that talk about pleasing God. Hang on just a second here. And that use this. Of course, I mentioned to you John 8. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That tells me this then, that with faith, you are pleasing to God. That's why I said it that way. Faith is pleasing to God. Why is that important? Well, let's look here. Something that First John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, I'm gonna make a statement here, folks. Listen to me. There's not enough grace and mercy to live a life of sin and expect prayers to be answered. Amen. This idea that I can just live any way I want because I'm under grace. I know. Send your card and letters right here to Rhema Bible Training College, Tad Gregory. Bring them on. I got the Bible on this. What did he say here? He said, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. How do we please God? With faith. With faith. Pleasing. To please God. To be agreeable. One of the definitions that I found from the Greek scholars, now I don't read Greek, but I can read what they said, was to please God is to be agreeable with God. I like that. Live a life that's agreeable with God. What does that mean? Whatever God says, do that. Right? When someone despitefully uses you, what are you supposed to do? Pray for them. Do good for them, right? Not talk about them. Glory to God. You see, live this way, because then we can have this confidence that whatever we ask, we receive of him. Brother Hagin said for years, if I'm not getting answered to prayer, I start checking up on myself. Start checking on myself. Now, I know a lot of folks don't like that these days. Well, you're saying that your lifestyle will hinder receiving the blessings of God. Even though Jesus has finished the work and it's available for you. Daniel, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. I'm talking to Daniel up in the studio. He's doing the scriptures for us today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, please. While you're turning there, back here, Worrell's New Testament says in verse 6, but where there is no faith, it is impossible to truly please him. And there's so much more in that verse we don't have time to spend in it, but it's impossible to truly please him. Here in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Now that word saved, I love what Scofield said, it's the all-inclusive word of the gospel. Gathering into it all the redemptive acts of the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes saving, but it also includes deliverance. It includes, and he even said this, it includes healing. So we could say this, for by grace are you healed. Hallelujah. For by grace are all your needs met. It's by grace. In other words, what does that mean? God has already thought about it and already provided it. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the grace of God. He's already done the work. I don't have to do any work. But if I'm ever going to have it in my life, what's the next phrase today? Through faith. If I'm going to have what grace provided me, I'm going to have to get it through faith. That's the only way to get it. If I made a deposit in your bank account, let's say I put $1,000 in your bank account. If you do not know how to withdraw that money, it'll never benefit you. Right? You got to either learn how to use an ATM machine. You got to learn how to write a check. You need to learn how to go make a withdrawal at the bank. But you're going to have to do it according to the way the bank says you're going to have to do it. Well, God said the way to withdraw from the bank account of grace is through faith. Amen. And faith is pleasing to God. Look at Romans chapter 14, please. Verse 23. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Translation, the classic, the old Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I really am just maybe in and of my own self, maybe the Lord's just leading me this way, but to get back into the study of faith and to look at it. Brother Hagin said to us, he said, study and read on the subjects of faith and healing every day. Every day, study that, because you or somebody else you know will need it. Subject of faith, keep teaching yourself, schooling yourself on this subject of belief and faith. Now see, when we say what we're saying, we're not making light of other subjects like grace. Oh no. Thank God. In fact, I'm thankful for the renewed teaching and interest in the subject of grace. Praise God. Because if we're not careful, we get in the ditch on another side of things. But just don't get in the ditch just because you got something seemingly new and it's not new. If you got it from the Bible, how could it be new revelation? I heard people say, I've got a new revelation. Well, let's say it this way. I just learned something new that I'd never seen before. Well, I understand what you're saying now, but if you're, I tell students all the time, if I'm the only one preaching this, I've got to stop and ask why. Why me? Even Paul went to the leaders in Jerusalem so he hadn't run in vain, right? Went and checked it out. Glory to God. Okay, Romans 14, 23. The Amplified says, but the man who has doubts, misgivings, and an uneasy conscience about eating, and then eats, talking about eating meat that's been offered to idols, perhaps because of you, stand condemned before God. Been talking about don't let your freedom cause someone else to disobey and to go against their convictions and their faith. Because he is not true to his convictions and does not act from faith. For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God is sinful, he adds. Well, wouldn't sin be the opposite of being pleasing to God? Now, no, he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, he talks about your convictions there. So now he's not talking about, again, events of faith. He's talking about living a lifestyle of faith. Again, see, that's our first statement, that the just shall live by faith. Second, faith is pleasing to God. Well, then how do we get faith? Well, you know it. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Praise the Lord. You out there? Amen. No, we're not trying to say anything. Again, we're not trying to say anything new this morning. Just to stir ourselves up. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that if I don't keep in these things, it slips. You can let things slip if you're not careful. You know, I remember back when first learned about faith and saying what God says, making we call it a good confession. Boy, I mean, you watched everything you said. I mean, just everything. You watched every word. Not only did you watch your words, you listened to every word everybody else said. If you weren't careful, you thought there was a new spiritual gift called confession police. And you're going to correct everybody if they said anything that didn't sound like faith. And in talking to some folks, and you know, it's interesting because in teaching like this, people, and again, let me just say this, I'm a grace preacher. Can I just say that? I love grace. Thank God without it, I wouldn't even be saved. Amen? But in talking about faith, sometimes people think, well, you're against grace. No, I'm not against grace at all. At all. I'm a grace preacher. I told one guy, I said, I preach on grace more than you. I do it all the time. Thank God for it. But we have to bring this aspect of faith into it. And in fact, the New Testament, I looked it up here just again the other day, talks about faith and belief twice as many times as it does as grace is mentioned. Okay? Because really God is not that concerned. I mean, we ought to understand he's done it. He's more concerned about helping us get it. That's why he mentions it twice more than he does that he's provided it. Yes, he's provided it. Thank God. But how do you get it? All right. Well, it's through faith. And here he says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the source of our faith is God's word. We didn't finish reading there in Ephesians chapter 2, but for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Well, what is the gift of God? The grace, the saved, and the faith. They all come from God. It's not man's idea, it's God's idea. All right? And so here he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So every time you hear God's word, the potential is there for you to receive, if you will, a deposit of faith. Well, what kind of faith? The God kind of faith. Faith that comes from God's word. Not just hearing any word, but the word of God. Faith comes. The potential is there. Now, we're not turning over there, but let me remind you, there in John chapter 20, Jesus is risen, right? Everybody's there. He shows up in the room except for Thomas. Jesus told him and showed him his hands, his side. He said, look, touch me if you want to. I'm here. It's real. They told Thomas, really, they shared with him the gospel. Jesus is alive. We've seen him. And he made a decision. He said, unless I could put my fingers in the imprint of the nails and into my hand into his side, he said this, I will not believe. He made a conscious decision to not receive faith from hearing the good news. And I think we've had a misconception. Well, if you can just preach the word enough to them, if you can just preach the word enough to them, they'll get it. No, unless they make a decision to receive the word of God, it's never going to impact their life. Because there's no deposit of faith. Hearing. That brings the idea of not just you heard with these ears, but you hear it on the inside. Your spirit reaches out and grabs hold of it. And you hear it. Have you ever heard something and then you hear it? Oh, I've been there many times. Somebody said, well, I've been saying that for years. I'm like, you have? I sat right there and heard you say it, but you didn't even hear it. But one day I heard it. That's the day I took hold of it. That's the day I decided that the evidence that's presented is truth. And I'm going to trust in it, and that's faith. Faith comes by hearing that way. So when you read the word of God, when you come to church and you're hearing the word of God, or you read it for yourself, you have to make a conscious decision. Let God be true and every man a liar. This is true whether I can see it or not. I'm going to believe what I'm seeing right here and what I'm hearing right here from God's word. That's why it's important. And I say this to you. Don't believe something just because I said it. You believe it because you see it in the word of God. Or you'll end up like one of those seven sons of Sceva out there, naked and running away, and the devil telling you, God I know, and Tad I know, but who are you? Right? He said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And they were trying to cast devils out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Well, thank God Paul was preaching the name of Jesus. But you can't cast him out in my name. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a conscious effort. And then the last thing here is, how is faith released? Well, two main ways: by speaking and by action. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, these aren't new things, but just reminders for ourselves. And if it's new to you, well, praise God. But I'm here to tell you, multitudes of lives have been changed by these concepts. I sat at a graduation, after a graduation in São Paulo, Brazil, with a group of ministers who, with tears in their eyes, began to describe to me what their life was like before they learned this message of faith. And how they began to change, that how even through what God had taught them, a nation's economy began to change. And they sat there with tears in my eyes, and I realized I've been taking for granted what to these men and women has been a life-changing, and it changed my life too. But I had lived it, you know, and just been in it and been in the ministry. That when you hear this, and these were folks that have been, you know, they're talking, I thought it was like just, but they're talking about, this happened to us 20, 25 years ago. This changed us forever. Changed the direction of our lives, our families, and this nation. It so changed that nation. And if it can change Brazil, it can change anywhere. I sat with a group of ministers who were attending Rhema Bible Training College down in Haiti. And these ministers who had, they said this message of faith in God that's being taught through this school. We're going to take this message and change this nation and tell the rest of the world, if faith in God can change Haiti, it can change any place. That's what they told me. That's why they wanted to come study, even though one of these pastors, the very first man that signed up, he'd already built three churches that had over 1,000 ministers, 1,000 members, and passed them off to other people. And he's the very first one that signed up, he and his wife. This message, and one of the aspects of it is to say and speak what you desire, not what you have, by God's word. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we, having the same spirit of faith, an attitude of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Notice that what you believe, you talk about. And if you're living this way, living by faith, living by your beliefs, you're going to be talking about your life and the life of faith. Now go to Mark 11, praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, look what Jesus said to us here. Are you doing okay? Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answering said, have faith in God. I've got a little note in my Bible, and it says, have the faith of God. Others have brought out that literally says, have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, point to yourself, right in the chest, say, that means me. So he's talking to you and I, that whosoever, see there's that, that's what includes all of us, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now notice here that three times he mentions what we say. One time he mentions that we have to believe what we say. Brother Hagin told us that the Lord told him, spend three times the amount of time on teaching people to say on teaching them to believe. Stay on this. And so both sides are important. I mean, you can say all day long. And listen, what you say has to line up with the word of God. You can't
Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know if it's God's will, you can't speak in faith. And just because you say something doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. You could go outside in your garage from now until Jesus comes back and say, I am a car, but you're not a car. And you don't have a promise that you're going to be a car. Now, if you need a car, you can say, I believe I receive a car. Because the Bible says he'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Right? Look at Romans chapter 10. Releasing your faith through the words that you say. When we talk about releasing your faith, we're saying releasing your beliefs, your convictions based upon the Bible. Or as Brother Doug would say, your Bible-based beliefs. Speaking out of that. That's why it was so, when this message started to change our lives, it was so radical. It was such a new way of living to hear anything that sounded the least bit like God wasn't going to meet our needs. Boy, you just rose up against that and you forgot to walk in love towards people. You just, I'm taking my two-edged sword and I'm going to slash you up because you are saying the wrong thing. You know, and say to people, I believe it'll happen just like you said. What, you want what I believed wrong to come to pass in my life? What kind of love of God is that? Amen. I believe you'll have it just like you're saying it. You know. And dear God, don't let anybody ever say, well, that just scared me to death. You know. Boy, don't ever say that around a Rhema student in 1982. I'm going to tell you that right now. Oh, Lord. All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice that confession with believing, going together, releasing, acting on what you believe by saying something. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. See, with my heart, what I believe, that puts me in agreeable place and in right with God and agreeing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, again, this word saved and salvation, it means healing just as much as it does the new birth. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth and you will be healed. You receive what? Now, where did that salvation come from? Grace provided it already. Grace provided the healing. But notice the aspect of speaking with our mouth. And then let's go to Luke chapter 5 now. Let's look at some action involved. And we'll end with this one today, okay? Just a simple lesson on faith today, but I think we need to remind ourselves you know, they used to call us radical faith teachers. Looks like they call people radical grace teachers today. But you put radical faith and radical grace together, you got something happening. It's radical. It's radical. It's radical to believe that God will meet all your needs. It's radical to believe that he'll heal your body when the whole world is sick and sickness and disease running around. It's radical to believe that he'll protect you, that by his stripes you're healed. It's radical to believe that when the economy's going this way, you're going this way. It's radical to believe that you can have peace of mind when the world's in confusion. It's radical to believe that you can have courage and peace in the midst of all of the turmoil that's going on. It's radical. Yes, it's radical. But that's what God's word says. It is a radical life. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You know, that same power is here today. It's here today to heal you. Oh, do you feel it? No, I don't feel it. Don't have to feel it. Just know it's here. I mean, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you. What more power do you need? Think about that. If that power can raise the dead, it can heal your sniffles. Right? And behold, men brought in a bed, a man that was taken with the palsy, and he was paralyzed, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what they might bring him in because of the multitude, in other words, there's no way to get in the house, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven you. And then they got all worked up about who can forgive sins. They missed the whole point. But here that day, the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but none of them got healed. Just like in Mark chapter 5 with the woman with the issue of blood. Evidently, the power of the Lord was present because when she touched Jesus' garment, that virtue, that power went out of him. Same word translated power here, translated virtue there. Went out of him and healed her. And when the disciple, when Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? The disciples were amazed because they said, look, master, everybody's touching you. How can you ask us who's touching you? He said, no, somebody has touched me. With what? With faith. Because he told her daughter, your faith has made you whole. Somebody touched, somebody activated that healing power through faith. These guys, Jesus saw their faith. He saw it. What? Well, the whole thing. They carried this man up upon the housetop. Now realize, it's not a pointed roof. They had flat roofs and probably a staircase up the side. Most of the homes in that day, especially big enough to have this meeting, would have had a flat roof area on the top. And they tore that off and they let the man down in front of him there. See, there's something about faith that will not take no for an answer. It just won't. It's just like, no, if I can get this man, if we can get our friend to Jesus, he'll go away. He won't be paralyzed anymore. And they got there and they said, no, you can't come in. It's too full. Well, faith's not that concerned about the mode. We're just going to do it. They just start looking around. Let's go up there. We'll drop him down. We're going to drop you down through the roof. Okay. And they just went up there and started tearing up the roof. And they let the man down there. And the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Through what? Their actions. See, that woman with the issue of blood, she just didn't say, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. She went and touched his garment. Faith is released through what we say and what we do. And this is to be a lifestyle, not just an event. Thank God for the events of life when God corrects the course of our life when it's going the wrong direction. And you have an event with God. But we are to live by faith. Like I said, right now, that healing power of God's present, the healing power of God's present in here right now. Right now it's here. But we don't have to have an event. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong. And God works through people with special anointings and that type of thing. But there's nothing wrong with if you ever wanted to come down in a prayer line, Pastor Hagin says, come on down, I'm gonna lay hand, let boy do it. There's an anointing there. He wouldn't do it if there wasn't an anointing there. But yet you can receive your healing sitting right where you are right now. It's yours. It belongs to you. And in fact, to be quite honest with you, that healing power is not floating around in here. It's already in you. Sometimes we get this idea we're looking for it out here. Paul said, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power that now works in you. What power is that? Resurrection power. Amen? There's resurrection power in me right now. Driving out, I mean, it's attacking. Every cancer cell in my body, if there's one in my body, that healing power of God right now is attacking it. In fact, I'll say that every once in a while. I'll just be reminded. It'll come up out of my spirit. Thank you, Lord. The healing power of God's driving out every cancerous cell in my body. It has to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Living by faith. Living by faith. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for faith. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that you provided for us salvation for each and every person that is or ever has been on this earth through grace. Salvation is available. Fathers, I pray right now. I'm praying for those that might be in this room who have never, ever spoken out their belief in you. They've never, ever accepted through faith what you've provided by grace, their salvation, their new birth, their healing, their deliverance from their past. Father, I pray for them right now. I pray for anyone that might be watching right now, Father, this watching this live or might be watching this as a recorded sometime in the future, that they would know that the Bible says today is your day of salvation. Today is the day. Don't wait another moment. Cry out and call out on the name of the Lord today and you'll be saved, the Bible said. I'm going to look around this congregation. You have you're in an attitude of prayer. If you're here this morning and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know you cannot leave this place today without doing this, I just want you to raise your hand and wave it at me so I'll know I want to pray for you today. Raise your hand and wave it at me anywhere. The ushers can help me anywhere in the congregation, upstairs or downstairs. You've never accepted Jesus, but today you know is your day of salvation. If you're here today, you grew up in church, but you don't know. You don't know if you've ever done that before. You don't know. You don't have confidence that you have eternal life in you, that heaven is your home. And you want to make sure today, you want to, as Pastor Hagin says, you want to have a know-so experience. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you anywhere in this congregation. Just wave your hand so we can see it. If you're here today and you've walked away from God, and I didn't say you're not a Christian. I just said you've walked away from God and you've done that publicly and you want to make a public declaration that, no, I'm coming home to the Father's house. I'm coming back into fellowship with God because I've walked away from it. God didn't leave you or forsake you. You walked away from him and you want to restore that this morning. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you anywhere in this congregation. Let's all stand together. Ask your neighbor right now, do you need me to go down there with you? Just ask him. Tell him you'll come with him. Amen. Just make sure. Just be bold. Don't assume that person's going to heaven. Just ask him. Well, I've been married to this person for 48 years. Well, okay, you may know that, I guess. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on down here, bud. I'll be down there in just a minute. Anybody else want to come for prayer? Anybody else want to come? Amen. Hallelujah. You know there's got someone else coming. Yes, praise the Lord. There is no condemnation with God at all. Not at all. Hallelujah. He receives us all. Anybody else want to come? I'm going to make my way down there with these that have come. If you want to come, just go ahead and come on now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that, now these aren't, but one of the things the Bible said that he would give us as our inheritance was the unbeliever. How many of us have exercised our faith to believe for people to get saved? For the unbeliever. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you guys raise your hand up to heaven? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, for restoration. For that no-so, yes, Lord. That your love
Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus just for meeting this need. Yes, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. If you two would open your eyes and turn to your right over here. That's Greg Finley on our pastoral staff. Would you go with him? And he's going to take you to a special place of prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give them a big hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stretch your hand that way towards them. Father, we thank you that every need they have, every question they have, hallelujah, about their position with you, they'll receive answers today. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Connection team, if you'd find our...